You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilkins bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you again on another Saturday afternoon to our program that we've called for 19 plus years, Raising the Standard. We hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 in the afternoon. And so we welcome and greet all of you, wherever you might be. If you're out in the car listening on the radio, maybe you're home listening on the radio, maybe you're on the computer, wherever you are, even around the world, people can pick it up on the internet. And so we welcome you, and we trust that you'll be blessed with what you hear, and not because of Donna and I, but because we're going to share the Word of God with you. And this is what gives us the foundation that we need to walk on and to fulfill everything that God wants in our lives, to be the people of God that He's chosen us to be. And we see this time and season we're in our country right now and around the world, how we're so morally corrupt and we're not doing the things and honoring the Word of God in so many areas. We're changing laws and changing the definition of marriage. We're going to talk about marriage here a little bit, about the wedding of the Messiah today. And we have all these things we're seeing going on in our country. And so it's an important time to see what God has to say about this. So we're going to cover this to the best of our ability. If we don't get it done today, we'll talk about it next week. And I thought this was apropos to share this week, and Pastor Donna mentioned as well, because here we are, we're about halfway through the time called Teshuva, where it's a time to, if you're away from God, to return and come back to Him. Some people maybe listeners never accepted Yeshua in their life, so you can't come back, but God's calling you into the kingdom of God. So you come. But a lot of people are backslidden. They used to come to church. They used to do things that God had them doing, and they walked away. And so God's calling them back as well. And Amen. He's faithful and just. His arm, it says in the Bible, is never too short. If someone wants to come back, do the right thing, repent and turn around. That's what Teshuva means. It means to repent and turn around. And you can come back to Him, and He'll forget all the things in the past, anything you might have been doing the last 6 months, the last year, while you've been away from Him. All those things can be forgiven. All we have to do is be sincere with Him and ask Him to do that. And so we're honored to be here with you. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 in the afternoon. So we just give you all the glory and the praise, Father, for what you're going to accomplish with this program today, as we're going to talk about the wedding of the Messiah. This is kind of fitting in definitely with the season that we're in, because 1 year, we're going to be coming down to at the end of Jacob's trouble, there'll be one more month called, or those 40 days, a month plus 10 days, which is called Teshuva, and leads up to the days of awe. It'll be the last one of this age as we know it. And so it's important for the Jewish people as well. But how about us as the body of Christ? You know, I believe with all my heart that we'll be removed here from the earth before that end of Jacob's trouble comes. We're going to go out at the beginning, not at the end. And so we need to be right too, because if not, we could be left, couldn't we, Pastor Don? If we're not right, we could be left on the earth and have to go through this terrible time. And that's not what God's desire is for the body of Christ. He wants us to walk with Him, trust Him, and obey His word, and then we'll be in that place when that day comes that we'll be snatched off of this earth. I love to think about it. So we're honored to be here with you. I'm going to let Pastor Don, she's got a couple of things she wants to mention here, And then we'll do a little teaching. We're going to talk about the wedding of the Messiah. Now, if you don't have my book...
And the calendar.
Right. I was going to share with this. If you don't have my book, this has got so much meat in it. It's incredible. We can't cover this in an hour on this program. So we're just going to highlight it. But the thing is, I challenge you, get the book, and you'll find out more about your
Jewish
roots.
Actually, you know, Pastor Gene, we sold out of all our books.
That's right. I didn't have a printer yet.
So we have to pick up more books tomorrow.
Right. Once
they're finished. But people are buying them, and they're gone. And, you know, it's only $25, and there's so much meat in there.
Yeah.
There's so much to understand the feasts of the Lord. And I tell people, just go to the feast that we're on now.
That's right.
You know, there's so much in there. We could just read all the different topics that are in there, all the feasts of the Lord, and also Daniel and Revelation and charts and the calendar. The very
the calendar
first chapter
is, so important,
is calendar, yeah. Learning the calendar. And understanding, having a Jewish mind. You know, when you started teaching these things about the end times, I kept saying, Lord, I understand this, all these feasts. You know,
and
why?
The calendars.
And the Lord said, you know, you ask for a prophetic mind. Ask for, you know, to get back to a Jewish, to get back into the things in the Old Testament, really.
Mm-hmm.
The reason we don't know is because a lot of people don't read the Old Testament, you know, especially when they get born again. They just tell them, people just stay in the New Testament.
Or they skim over it, don't study it.
But right, they don't study it. They don't read the Torah, and they don't read the Torah portions. You know, if we were to read that, those first five books of the Bible, we would understand so much, because
sure
that's
would.
Where the feast, that's where they got introduced them, you know, and started them back with Moses, you know.
That's
and
right.
Even the Sabbath, that was started way back in the very beginning with Adam
Genesis
and Eve.
Genesis 1, yeah.
Genesis 1, right. Chapter 1.
The seventh day he rested, that's right.
Yes, well, we do want to say hello to you out there, and we thank you for supporting this ministry. We thank you for praying for us, and we pray for Roscoe and Audrey. You know, they're on Andrews Island building the temple of God, so we look
them
up. We
bring them before the Lord all the time.
Amen.
Yes.
And we bring them before the Lord, and you know, they certainly could use some help with some finances, because now the roof needs to go on. The roof is expensive, you know.
That's right.
And all the things, the supplies and everything is expensive. So if there's anybody out there that would like to, is in roofing or would like to help out with the materials.
That's right.
Because you know the materials have to be bought here, and then taken over there on a barge.
It's much cheaper to do it that way.
And that
way,
costs,
yeah.
That it's less expensive to do that, because
buy it over
because
there.
They can't get the materials there on Andros Island.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like you think about, how come they can't get material? Well, they don't have what we have here. So he has to order things from, you know, like these, wherever you get roofing
right.
stuff.
They don't have Home Depot and Lowe's and all the stores over there.
No, they don't have all that.
They don't have all
so
that.
So he has to order it, and then they have to put it on a boat, and it
and
has
a barge,
to go,
and bring it over here.
Go
yeah.
over there, and
yeah.
you've got all taxes, and you got to pay all this, but it still is less expensive doing it that way, you know?
That's right.
But it costs money, and, you know, it takes money to build things, and so they're building a church right there on Andros Island.
In the Bahamas.
Praise the Lord. So if you'd like to help that, it's a good. It's a good place
good soil,
to sow
yeah.
some seed,
mm.
and you can send it to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, and we deposit it right in their bank.
That's right.
The money right into their checking account, and so then they have access to it. So praise the Lord. So we say hello to them. Roscoe and Audrey Walks on the Andros Island, and the Temple of God people over there. And also to others that listen to us. You know, sometimes we have people listen to us from the Carolinas and different
places. Countries even, yeah.
Right. So we just want to bless you guys and say hello to you. And it's an honor to be on the radio program. But, you know, we're only also on the internet. So if you happen to be driving down the highway right now and you just tuned us in, you can listen to us every Saturday on the internet on WCNO.com. And so you can also go there, and they have a program guide. You can go back and you can listen to what we spoke on last week.
Right.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Or the week before that. Or I think they go back, I don't know, a year, 2 years. So that's a real blessing that we can be broadcasted around the world.
Right.
That awesome on the internet.
Amen.
And you know, we need to pray too, because, you know, we don't know how long. Will they shut down the internet? God only
knows.
We don't know. But so many people depend upon the internet. And there's a lot of ministries that are now on the internet that used to be on television.
That's right.
Because they can go on the internet for
a lot less money.
Yeah. Well, a fraction of
That's
the
right.
cost.
Yeah.
A fraction of the cost. And so
right.
it's a blessing for us to be to be on the internet on WCNO.com. So, and so all you do is just go to Saturday and look in the program guide. Look for Raising the Standard at 12 o'clock noon. And then you can listen to whatever you want to listen to.
We're giving you a lot of meat every week. If you went to a restaurant and had a good meal, you have to pay for it when you leave. So we just ask people to ask the Lord what He'd have you to give.
That's right.
And you do what He says, and you will be blessed, and this ministry will be blessed as well. So praise God for that. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
You got a couple other things too, don't you, Pastor Donna?
Right, we do. We have quite a few things. Amen.
Go
praise
ahead.
The Lord. So, you know, this, we're in the month of September, right?
Yeah. The month of Elul on the Jewish calendar.
Where is this going? Elul. And so Sunday will be Elul 15, and well, today is Elul 14, which is a full moon.
So we're right on. We're lined up this month with the Jewish calendars.
And our month is the same because
right.
It's on because today is the 15th, so it's close. 15th to 16th.
It's always on a full moon. Yeah.
It's always on a full moon.
That's right.
And so every single Hebrew month starts with a new moon.
That's right.
In the middle of the month, which is always the 15th, because it is a full moon. Because if according to the Bible, it's 30 days a month, 12 months. 360 days.
That's right.
That's what a Jewish calendar would be, back in according to God's word, the way He sets it up.
It hasn't changed. That's right.
Hasn't changed.
So Yeshua died at a full moon, didn't He, Pastor Donna?
He did. He died on a full moon.
He was in the tomb on the 15th. That was a full moon. Yeah.
And so what we're going to talk about today is the Rosh Hashanah. And Rosh Hashanah is the only feast of the Lord that comes on a new moon.
The only one.
And Jesus said, we won't know the day or the hour. But He didn't say we wouldn't know the time or season.
That's right.
He says, and Paul said, that we shouldn't be ignorant of these things.
That's right.
That we should know the times and the seasons. And so the times and the seasons are talking about the feasts of the Lord.
That's right.
Talking about the holy days. You know, and so there's seven feasts of the Lord. And so one of them is called Rosh Hashanah, or called, also they call Days of the Day of Trumpets.
That's right. It's a Jewish New Year.
It's also called Yom Teruah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they eat apples and honey. Well, I want to mention, you know, and that, and we're going to talk about
the Jewish wedding.
Mm-hmm. And the Jewish wedding, according to the way we believe, the Jewish wedding is going to happen during this time. Because if the catching away comes, because Jesus said we won't know the time of the day. It can be 2 days.
3 to 48 hours.
And this is the only feast, Pastor Gene, of all of them that comes on a new moon. And a new moon to a Jewish understanding would mean the
beginning of a month.
The beginning of the month, and you don't know, and that's why they have. The heralds go and look.
In Jesus' day, yeah.
In Jesus' day. And they still do this in Israel. They go up on the mountains or on the hills, and they look for the sliver of the new moon. Because we know that the moon, it's dark. You know, there's no moon in the sky for a couple of days.
2.5 days or better.
That's dark. Mm-hmm. So that means that we don't know that it's going to be 1 of 2 days.
That's
okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we won't know the day or the hour, but we will know. We should know the season, and the season, according to what we believe, would be on the time of the trumpet, when the trumpet sounds.
That's right.
Because it says the trumpet's going to sound. That would be called Rosh Hashanah. Or Yom Teruah.
So we don't know for sure what year we're on for sure.
No,
and we don't know what day or hour. It's a period of 48 hours.
But we know what season.
We know what season, so we need to be looking up at that time.
And every year, and if you know the season, like if I say, do you know the season of Thanksgiving or Turkey Day?
Yeah.
If I said Turkey Day, you would know I meant Thanksgiving. And you'd know that's in November, right?
That's right.
So when people talk about the Rosh Hashanah, everybody knows it's Tishrei 1 because it's always at the same time. Whenever Tishrei 1 comes around, that's when it is. That's the first day of that month, that seventh.
In fact, if you look at it in the scripture,
seventh month.
If you look at it even with Ezekiel, it shows us that trumpets, you know, the seventh month is the beginning of years. That's why it's honored every year as a new year. Exodus 12 shows the beginning of months.
Believe that God created everything, when everything started, you know.
So we got to put the two together, and we got an amazing picture with all of it, yeah.
So we, at Spirit of Prophecy, I was going to mention, we have services here Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Mm-hmm. Not today, we don't have anything going on today. But we will have service tomorrow at 10 a.m. And every Friday at 7 p.m. we have
our Shabbat service.
Our Shabbat service. And it could, because we honor the Sabbath, not legalistically, but because the Lord directed us to do that. And so we do it by with our heart. And so Friday night we had fellowship together. And then normally we do it also on Saturday, but like I said, not today. But tomorrow again at 10 a.m. we will come together and we will have a meeting with the Lord and we'll have and worship God, because the name of our ministry is called Spirit of Prophecy.
That's right.
And the Lord gave that to Pastor Gene. It came right out of Revelation chapter 19, the tail end of verse 10.
That's right.
Verse 10, where it says, worship God. That's who we worship.
Right,
there's our
else.
Answer.
That's right.
Nobody. Worship God.
Mm-hmm.
And then it clarifies who he is. He's not Allah.
That's right.
He's not Buddha.
He's not any other God.
He's not your mommy and daddy.
Yeah.
He's not your child.
Yeah.
No, worship God, it says, for the testimony of Jesus or Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy.
And that testimony can mean a word also. His
the word.
The word,
the witness, his word.
Right.
All of this Bible is his word.
That's right.
It's his word. In the beginning, so it talks to us in Genesis 1:1. And
in
the Hebrew, that talks, it says the Aleph and the Tav. That means the beginning mm-hmm. and the ending. He was there. He was there at the beginning when everything started, and he's there at the ending when everything is finished.
Yeah, he was never not there, was he?
He was never not there.
That's
he's
right.
always been there. In between, he's all through the Bible. It's like, I like that, where they talk about that red thread runs all through the Bible. Talk about threads. I'm pulling some threads out of some material right now. Making a fringe. You ever make a fringe? You have to pull out a thread and you make a fringe. And so why am I doing that? Because we celebrate these feasts. And when Rosh Hashanah comes in just a couple weeks, we will celebrate Rosh Hashanah. And so the Lord told us to make these white garments that just go over us. It could be for a man or for a woman. It's like a bridal veil or a bridal cloth, or it would be like a tallit, or you could call it like a veil. Well, see, Pastor Gene was speaking last week, and he said, isn't it strange a man is called the bride, or called the bride of Christ? And he
goes,
I can't see myself in a wedding dress. And the Holy Spirit just spoke to me. He says, you won't be in a wedding dress.
That's right.
The women won't be in a wedding dress. When we stand there before the Lord, you won't be able to tell us apart, because we're not going to have on some fancy wedding dress that has pearls and beads
right.
and lace and revealing our cleavage, like a beautiful wedding dress you might see in a magazine.
Mm-hmm.
No, everyone's going to have on the same thing. It will be
all
like
white.
It'll be white. It'll be a white garment. It says it'll be robes of righteousness.
That's what it says.
Robes of righteousness. So it's not going to be all decorated with a lot of stuff.
And fluff on it.
Right? And no laces, no
that's
lace,
right.
not all the stuff. It's going to be linen. It's going to be white. It's going to be pure.
White and fine linen.
And so we have gone and won't be a mixture of cotton and synthetics. No, it's going to be because, they don't wear things like that because it causes you to sweat.
Right.
This is a rest. You know, when you rest, you're not supposed to sweat.
That's right.
People sweat when they work, right?
That's right.
So I thought, wow, this is awesome. So we will all have these when we get our robes of righteousness. You know, a man's not going to get a different kind of robe than a woman.
That's right. All
so
be the
when
same.
They will all be the same, and so they when we have it hanging down, we're not going to be able to distinguish between man and woman. No, because we're the bride of Christ. It says that we're one. We're
that's
one
right.
in Yeshua. There's no mm-hmm. male, no female. We're one in the Lord. And so I thought, that's pretty awesome. So the Lord spoke to us about how, because we have worshipers and dancers in our church. We call them, they're called the Daughters of Judah.
That's right.
And so when we will be celebrating this feast, and also we'll be celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. We'll
right.
build a sukkot
mm-hmm.
in the sanctuary, and we'll have that. So we celebrate Yom Kippur. See, we have 22 days in this month of Tishri where there's three different feasts of the Lord.
That's right.
And you know this in 22 days and on 1 year, the Lord's going to fulfill all of these things.
It'll all be over
in one time.
That's right.
He's going to fulfill it within 22 days.
Trumpets, David. The Day of Atonement and the Feast of Tabernacles, and also Simchat Torah, rejoicing in the Torah, that eighth day. Yeah,
that's right. So here we are. We're going to be celebrating this, and we're going to talk about. And so, what happens on trumpets. Well, there's the trumpet blown. There's the catching away.
On 1 year. Yeah.
On 1 year, there's a catching away. Who's he going to catch away? Those who are seeking him. Those are seeking the Lord. Those and those that have, you know, you got. That's why we have to live.
Yeah, be in the body of Christ.
We need to live in repentance. We need to walk in repentance. We need to forgive each other, and we need to walk in love. And so, one of these years could be this year.
Could
I'm not
be.
Saying it is, but it
don't
could
know.
Be this
could
year.
Be. We don't know.
And it could be. And at this right time, at the new moon. So here we, if we have this catching away, that means all those that are in the Lord that are looking for him, because it says in the book of Revelation, he's coming back for those that are seeking him.
Right.
There's a lot of Christians that aren't looking.
Well,
they say they're Christians, and there are a lot of Christians that are living in, and choosing to live in sin. I'm not talking about missing the mark or doing something, you know,
doing something deliberately.
I'm talking about they remain and they want to remain in sin. And they want to remain in a lifestyle that's not that doesn't line up with God's word.
Paul says that. Yeah.
So if they won't be, they say they're Christians, but they won't. I don't believe they'll be caught away, just like the Jewish children when they were living in the wilderness. They all said they were Hebrew. They all said they were of Israel, right? They all said they were Israel, but they weren't all because they didn't follow the Lord. And the ones who didn't follow the Lord, you know, something happened to them.
That's right.
And the chorus group, they all got, they died. And so, you know, God's looking for obedience. So even if you say something, doesn't mean, see, your actions should certainly speak louder than, should speak louder than your words. So we're, here we are in this time, Pastor Gene, talking about the bride of Christ and the 7 years that we're going to be hid away. And it's going to be, we're going to be hid away with the Lord in heaven, right?
For 7 years.
For 7 years.
Seven
and then,
prophetic years.
And during that time, God is going to deal with the earth, the
That's
world.
Right.
He's going to deal with the world. He's going to deal with Israel. He's going to deal with the United States. He's going to deal with every nation.
That's right. In heaven, come to the Lord.
Every
That's
nation.
Right.
He's going to, and there's going to be many people that will get saved, but the Bible says there's going to be many people that are going to die, too, because of their faith. Look at what they're trying to change now.
That's right.
I mean, here you have, we're just talking about saying the national anthem.
That's right.
Here we have people that are on big names, people that are on football teams or other, or maybe could be another team,
movie
any other kind of teams,
yeah.
Movie stars. They won't say the Pledge of Allegiance. Well, you know what? They ought to get out of the country.
Yeah.
If they don't want to, say the Pledge of Allegiance, or they don't want to honor
the flag,
the national anthem,
yeah,
or the flag.
The flag, yeah.
Right? They want to say, should a flag be on the? Should we be having a flag during a football game? Should we be doing this? Should we be doing that? They want to take God out of everything.
But remember, the flag is a symbol of our country. All the tribes of Israel.
They all had a flag, a banner.
They all had a banner representing their tribe. That's right.
That's right. And every one of them was important.
That's right.
And you know. Not that we worship the flag or we worship the Star Spangled Banner or the Pledge of Allegiance or anything else.
It's part of our identity.
But when we deliberately, this is what's happening though. But it's not those people so much, those guys. But it's the government that's wanting to take things away from us, prayer, and also not only take things away, but also add things that God says, add things to the law, make sin law.
Right.
That's what they're doing. They're making sin lawful.
That's what they're doing.
And so the Bible says that what? It says you'll say...
They're calling evil good and good evil, right?
That's what they're doing.
That's what they're doing.
So they're saying it's good to have an abortion.
Yeah, it's good to have
it's
two
good
people,
to,
same sex, to get married.
It's
yeah.
good to eliminate yeah. the population.
That's right.
You know, some long time ago, was it China that said that you can only have one child or something or other?
They were only allowed to have, I think, what was it? I'm trying to remember.
Was it 1.5 children?
Well, I don't know. One daughter or something. That's all they could
no,
have.
No, they can only, like, couldn't, yeah, right. Okay, yeah, right. They can only have, they're just,
yeah.
they, you can have boys, but you can't have girls. I don't know. But anyways, you know, God says to be fruitful and to multiply, doesn't he?
That's right.
So God doesn't want us to limit us on how many children we even have. You know, people have done that in America for a long, long time.
And so Paul tells us in the Bible that if we practice these things that are contrary to the Word of God, it's real clear. He says you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so people ought to be pricked in their hearts, you know. A lot of Christians think it's okay to live together, not being married, and God's going to look the other way. He's not. And you're committing fornication, and if you remain in that place when that day comes, when we hear that shout from heaven and that shofar blow, If you're living in sin, I wouldn't want to be in that place. You're more likely to be left right here on this earth. So he's not going to allow sin into heaven, that's for sure. So there's a lot of things we could talk about in our
country. I want to leave our, give you our phone number, and if you'd like to order Pastor Gene's book, just feel free to give us a call, and we'll give you more information on the telephone. So the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
That's right.
So we're in a real, these next real serious time. And right now we're in the time of Teshuvah, which means to return.
Got 15 more days of that to come to Tishrei 1, right?
Means to return. Well, then it actually goes on 10 more days
up to the Day of Atonement. That's right.
So we actually have more than 15 days. But if we're going to, if the catching away is going to be on the first day of Tishrei,
and the resurrection,
we only have 15 more days.
That's right.
That's not very
long. There could be this year, the resurrection out from among the dead, all the believers, ecclesia in Christ, all people that are in him,
mm-hmm.
and the catching away. Could it happen this year? Money.
No, don't anyone say that we said it's going to happen this year. Because that's
right.
not, you have to listen, okay,
that's
with your
right.
ears.
We didn't
you
say
need
that.
To Shema. You need to listen.
That's right.
You need to listen and pay attention. What we're saying is we believe that it will happen on 1 year, Tishrei, on Tishrei and one year. We're not saying it's going to happen this year. We don't
right.
know what year.
We don't know for sure what
we
year.
We don't, but we should know the season, the times
and
the
Paul
seasons.
Paul told us that, didn't he?
That's right. Go ahead, Pastor
That's what
Gene.
He was taught. So we thought we'd talk about marriage here a little bit, and I have a lesson in the book. In fact, it's lesson 9 in the book. If you want to get the book, it's $25 and maybe $4 for shipping and handling. And lesson 9 is about the wedding of the Messiah. And if we look at this chapter real close, we could never possibly cover all this today. But if we look at this real close, we can see some very interesting things with all this about this. If we look at it, we see that God's actually asking us to come to him like a marriage request. You know, will you marry me? And we should say, I do, to the Messiah's proposal, you know. So these 12 events we're going to talk about in the Jewish wedding reveal prophetically our relationship with the Messiah from the very beginning to the end. And, you know, marriage is put in place right in the beginning. Over in Genesis chapter 2 over there talks about they became one flesh. And so, and the one flesh was what? One man, one woman. Not two men or two women, but one man and one woman. That's God's purpose. And if we do anything else, I'll be honest with you, we're just going to say it out right here. It's sin. You're living in sin. And you can't do that. If you want to be in the kingdom of God, you can't do that. And so this is very important we understand this. And so we know that his purpose, you know, the Bible tells us that God always called Israel his wife. So he was married to them. And also now when Yeshua came, we are called basically the bride of Christ. It tells us, and I think it's in 2 Corinthians, it tells us 11:2 that we've been betrothed to the Messiah. That means we've been what? Engaged to him.
Engaged.
And so that means he's called us and we've been engaged. Now we're not married yet. We won't get married. Donna talked about that a little bit ago. As soon as the resurrection comes with the believers and the catching away, the first thing's going to happen in the heavenly realm is the Messiah is going to be, there's going to be a great coronation of him being called the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then the next thing is going to be what? We're going to get married.
You want me to read that?
Yeah.
And where is it again?
What's that?
Second Corinthians.
Yeah, if you want to do that, you can read that. It's in 2 Corinthians 11:2.
Okay, let's keep talking.
We'll look at a few scriptures here.
Thank you, Lord. Okay.
And so God had this plan from the beginning about the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And everything, these 12 steps we're going to show here, shows you the entire program that God had in place, not only for Israel, but for us also. Go ahead and read it, honey.
It says, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin
That's right.
Christ."
That's right. And I think about, you know, Adam was put to sleep, and what? One of his ribs was taken out, and that's how God created Eve and became his wife. And so it will put somebody to sleep in the Bible. A lot of places, you know, sleep refers to death. And so it's a picture there, a pattern of what? Yeshua dying for his bride. It's incredible. We think
then, you know,
that.
Paul gives a warning too. He says,
That's
but
right.
I fear,
mm-hmm.
lest by any means as the serpent, the serpent is
uh-huh.
devil, the devil, beguiled Eve
Ooh, yeah.
through his subtlety, is that how you pronounce it?
Subtlety.
Subtlety. Mm-hmm. So your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ.
That's right.
The gospel is a simple message.
Absolutely. And one thing we've got to keep in mind here, too, we've talked about this a lot, you know, and this is in history with Judaism and all that, you know, they believe that Jesus, well, they don't call him Jesus, but we do. We know who he is, but they're looking to a Messiah, and there's going to be two aspects of his work on this earth. He's called Messiah ben Joseph, the suffering one, okay? And then when he comes later, he's going to be what? Messiah ben David, showing his kingly state as well. So that's all revealed with all these things.
But when he comes for us in the sky, he won't be putting his feet on the ground.
Nope, it's going to be in the
air. To me, he would be called, you know, Messiah, the righteous one. Because he's
right.
He's coming as a righteous husband, you know, and to catch us away, to take us away.
Amen.
You know, when in the Jewish wedding, I don't know if you're going to talk about that, and this may take a couple of weeks, but in the Jewish wedding, you know, when the man is espoused to a woman, then he goes away. He leaves her, and she doesn't know when he's coming back.
When's he gonna come back?
It might be a year, two years, 3 years. But he goes away to do what? To prepare a place for her, a home, a place for her to go to. You know, he doesn't come and move in with her parents.
Right.
Oh boy, we see a lot of that.
Yeah.
No, he's the covering. He's the protection. He goes away. He goes back home. And he prepares a place, a home for her.
Mm-hmm.
And when he comes for her, she does not know the time.
When he's going to come.
She does not know the hour. She is to always be ready.
Ready.
And if she's not always ready, whoa. See, she can't be running around in her robe, you know, her nightgown, whatever. She's to always be ready because she doesn't know when he comes. And when he comes, she needs to be ready to go. She can't say, no, I got to wait.
All she knows is her bridegroom's going to come one day.
And we have a good example of that in the Old Testament. You know, she can't say, no, I'm going to wait a week and be with my mom and dad.
Yeah.
No, she got up, you know, who was it? She just got up and she went. She went. And so that's what's going to happen. We need to be ready. And so that's when Jesus says, you know, who's going to be ready?
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to be ready? Who's going to be watching and looking? See, if we're watching and looking at everything else but that, see, our home is not here. Our home is in heaven.
That's right.
We have a heavenly dwelling, you know. And so, but if we're just looking, keeping our eyes in this earthly level, looking at what we have, what we're going to eat, what we're going to drive, where are we going to live. If we're looking, if just looking at that, that's as far as we go. We don't ever get our eyes up. So everybody's just looking on this one plane. We got to lift up our heads and get our eyes up and look to the heavens from which cometh our help.
That's right.
He's not going to come back as a reigning king at that time when he catches us away.
That's right.
That's going to happen 7 years later.
At the end, that's
when
right.
he comes back on that horse.
To the Mount of Olives.
Yes, and that robe, and we come back with him on horses, you know. And so that's when he's going to come back as a reigning king, and he's going to destroy the wicked.
That's right. Now, I was just thinking while you're talking, John 14 tells us this. Listen to this. Verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled, Yeshua says.
Yes.
Ye believe in God, believe also in me.
Yes.
In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Remember?
That's right.
The bridegroom goes and prepares a place for his wife.
Amen.
And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
Amen.
Praise God. So, you know, I was thinking about this before we came on here. There's some scriptures in the first covenant. It's very interesting. I want you to go over, if you're at home, please don't do this if you're driving a car. We're going to go over to Jeremiah chapter 23. We're going to see that God reveals here prophetically in these scriptures. There has to be a connection with a marriage somehow in this. I'm going to show you these two verses, okay? So, Donna's turning over there too. What I want to read here is verse 5 and 6. It says, verse 5 says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I'll raise unto David a righteous branch. Well, who is that? That's got to be Yeshua. And a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. The earth means the land of Israel. Okay. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. So it sees, shows the northern tribes and also the southern tribes in Jerusalem. And this is his. I want you to remember, it says this is his name. This word his is important. This is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. It's all in capital letters. I believe the King James is the only one that shows it this way. So it says his name whereby he shall be called what? The Lord our righteousness. Amen. And I'm going to read verse 7. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Now, where we want to go now, I want to go over to chapter 33. Look at this now. This is really key how God put this in the Word of God for us. Chapter 33 now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. I'm at 33. Let's see what verses. I want to read 15 and 16 with you in this verse. Put in your mind here, his name, back in Jeremiah 23, his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. All capital, so it's referring mm-hmm. to Yeshua, okay? Now look at chapter 33. I want to read verses 15 and 16 with you. It says that in those days, mm-hmm. when will this be? At the very end. And at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness, who's that? Yeshua, to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. Now look at this now, the next verse. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. We just read that over there in the other chapter. And this is the name wherewith, now listen to this, wherewith she, not a he or his, wherewith she shall be called the Lord our righteousness. And you notice this, the only thing that's capitalized in this is the word Lord, which is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Then all the letters are not capitalized. So God's showing here there was a marriage planned in the future that God's put in place. Not only was Israel called his wife, but there's a plan also that Yeshua is going to have a body of believers as well, and there's going to be a marriage with that as well. I think that's amazing when you think about it. Amen? So there's just one word. The word she in this verse, and over in chapter 23, it's the word his name, okay? It's talking about the Messiah, Yeshua. What an interesting thing. So God had marriage planned, didn't he?
Yes.
So I'm just going to quickly, maybe we won't have time to do all this in a deeper way. We'll do it next week. But I want to go through and just mention the 12 steps of a Jewish wedding. Now, some people think there's 14 steps, but there might be. But these are the 12 primary steps of a Jewish wedding, okay? The first thing we have to think about is, first of all, there's a selection of the bride. The father of the bridegroom usually chose the bride. See, back in those days, the father of the bridegroom chose the bride for his son. Isn't it amazing?
How did we come?
That's right.
The Father chose us.
That's right.
We were the mm-hmm. Holy Spirit.
That's right.
It was the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It was the Godhead.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And we were quickened and we came.
That's right.
We said yes.
So
we
that's
said
the
yes
first...
like Rebecca said yes.
That's right. So this is the first step, is the selection of the bride. Step two is the bride price is established. There's a bride price that has to be paid. In other words, to have a bride taken to be a wife for a husband. And that price, we know, is what? Was Yeshua's own life. That was the price that was paid for you and I to be in the body of Christ. Amen. In fact, 1 Corinthians 6:20 says this, "For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So that had to be paid a price. Now the next thing, number three, the bride and the bridegroom are betrothed. Or better, the word we have today is called what? Engage. In the Hebrew, it's known as a kedushin. All right. This is the first stage of the marriage, known as a kedushin. In the Hebrew meaning, it means literally. Listen to it. It means literally holiness, referring both to the wedding ceremony and to the state of matrimony. We must remember betrothal is the first of the two steps in the marriage process. Betrothal in ancient times was a formal engagement ceremony before marriage. And you know, when they were betrothed to one another, Pastor Donna, in God's eyes, what? They were married until, you know, they don't consummate the marriage, but they're married in God's eyes. Look at Joseph with Mary. He was going to divorce her, give her a certificate of divorce, because everybody was accusing him of what happened, you know, and they couldn't comprehend what God did. Well, we know what happened there, and so it was the Holy Ghost that did that. Aren't you glad? Now, the fourth thing in this Jewish wedding. Here we got the betrothal. Okay. The fourth thing is that there's a written document is drawn up, and it's called a ketubah. It's a written betrothal document in agreement. Mm-hmm. In the Hebrew, it's called a ketubah. Is the marriage contract that states the bride price, the promises of the groom, and the rights of the bride. This word ketubah means that which is written, is what it means in the Hebrew. The groom promised to work for her, mm-hmm. to honor, support, and maintain her in truth, to provide food, clothing, and necessities, and to live together with her as husband and wife. The Amen. Ketubah must be executed and signed prior to the wedding ceremony. The Bible is the believer's ketubah. This is what we have, our Bible. That's our ketubah. That's our written document.
That's right.
All the promises that God provided for the believers in Yeshua are legally ours, as is written in 2 Corinthians 1:20. What did Paul say? For all the promises of God in him and who in Yeshua are amen. Now, the fifth thing of this wedding ceremony that we're going to see come is the next thing is called the bride must give her consent. She has to accept it, right? So, you know, we've talked about this betrothal before. How God, you know, the Jewish people at Mount Sinai over in Exodus chapter 19, they had to betroth themselves to God and say, hey, I'm going to do this. He says, come with me. I want you to be my wife. So he was betrothed himself to Israel at that time at Mount Sinai. And so it's very important we understand all this because these are all patterns. So Israel had to be, they had to give consent to the marriage proposal from God. And said in reality, what? I do. We're going to follow you. But they didn't follow him, as is written in Exodus 24:3. And so likewise, a personal application to those who desire the Messiah to come into their hearts and lives is to accept his invitation to do so. How? By faith. As it is written in Romans 10:8-9. We read those scriptures all the time. Therefore, even today, to become the betrothed of Yeshua, the Messiah, we must still say what? I do to him. So if you're listening on this radio program and you've never said I do to him, or you just think going to church is going to save you, you need to get before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm asking you to come into my heart, and I say I do. I'm going to commit my life to you, and I'm going to be betrothed to you till you come back and take care of me, and then one day I'll become your wife. So now the sixth thing on this wedding process we're talking about, gifts were given to the bride. Don't you love that? Gifts were given to the bride. Amen. So the rite of betrothal is completed when the groom gives something of value to the bride and she accepts it from him.
That's right.
The gift most often given today is what? A ring. Dot and I have a ring.
Jewelry.
We're married to one another. Okay.
Silver, gold.
That's right. Whatever. When the groom places the ring on the bride's finger, the rite of betrothal is completed.
Thank you, Lord.
This completed rite is known in the Hebrew as a kedushin, which means what? Sanctification. So she's set apart then for this time. So the gifts are given to the bride, symbols of his love and all those things, and we can see all through the Word of God. Look what God gave us, the bride, mm-hmm. the nine manifestations in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and all the wonderful things, the gifts that we have. It's incredible when we think about it. Amen? Yeah. Glory be to God.
Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm. In addition, at this time, the cup of the covenant was shared and sealed between the bride mm-hmm. and the groom, with the drinking of wine. In so doing, the couple drinks from a common cup. This cup is first given to the groom to sip and then given to the bride. This cup, known as the cup of the covenant, is spoken of in Jeremiah. I want you to go over there, honey. Jeremiah 31:31-33. I want you to read that. Okay, while she's turning here, I'm going to
Jeremiah go. Where?
Jeremiah chapter 31. And we want to read verses 31 through 33. This is amazing when we think about this covenant
31.
That we have.
Mm-hmm. 31.
Mm-hmm. 31 to start. 31:31-33.
31:31.
Great pattern to show us here.
31:31. Right here it is.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's 31. 31:33.
Thank you, Lord.
Here it is.
Okay.
Behold, that word is hay.
Yeah.
Behold,
yeah.
That means
hay.
Hay.
Yeah.
The days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant
here we go,
with
renewed
the house
covenant, right.
of Israel
mm-hmm.
and with the house of Judah,
mm-hmm.
not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. Remember, they all said they were Israel, but they broke the covenant.
That's right.
Although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, another place I'm thinking about
and
is...
Also, I love 33, because
right
this
ahead.
Is what God says he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. These are the Jewish people, Israel, all
mm-hmm.
of Israel. We're not
That's
just
right.
talking about one tribe or just Judah. Mm-hmm. I believe he means Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
That's right. Incredible.
It's the word
now,
of the Lord.
Now, another place in the New Testament, the Renewed Testament here is in Luke chapter 22, verse 20, when Yeshua had his Last Supper with his disciples. Chapter 22, verse 20 says this, likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, he gave it to them, this cup is the new or the renewed testament in my blood, which is shed for you. So here we are. What are they doing? They're making agreement here. There's a betrothal and all the gifts were given at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Now the seventh step in this ceremony that we're talking about, the bride has a bath, takes a bath. It's called a mikvah. The word mikvah is a Hebrew word that means a pool or a body of water. Therefore,
it has to be running water, too.
That's right. Mikvah is a ceremonial act of what? Purification by immersion in water. It indicates a separation from a former way to a new way. In the case of marriage, it indicates leaving an old life for a new life with your spouse. We see that in all through the Bible.
We talk about that as being baptism.
That's right.
Water baptism.
Mm-hmm. That's
but
right.
you know, Jewish people take mikvahs all the time.
That's right.
No, it's a cleansing. It's a purifying. It's
mm-hmm.
an outward
sign.
Sign. And it's a holy thing.
That's
they
right.
take it. Those who are serious, they take it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the cleansing. It's a cleansing.
That's right.
And many of them do it before special things that happen. Even on like before a weekly Sabbath, or you know, it's not just like being baptized once in the water. It's a total cleansing. Well, that's what the word is supposed to do. But if you're not reading the word, how are you going to be getting cleansed?
That's right. So this mikvah is considered exactly a spiritual rebirth. It's what is when we get water baptized. It's
that's
an outward sign that something's changed in our heart.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason for the mikvah has the power to change a person completely if they look at it that way. Hallelujah.
And God's water is not stagnant. It's running. It's running clear. It's like a river. You know, it's not just a pond that can get stagnated, you know, and get dirty.
That's right.
It's a river. It's
mm-hmm.
God's river is full, and it's God's river is always moving. It's moving us onward. He doesn't take us backwards. He just moves us forward. He moves us onward.
That's right.
Into him, you know. Brings us closer to the temple. Brings us closer to the Holy of Holies.
That's right.
See, we have got to get beyond the veil.
Yeah, that's right.
Get out of the outer courts, right?
That's right.
Get away from where they're doing all the sacrifices and all that. Get into the Holy of Holies. Get into the presence of the Lord.
That's right. I'm thinking about Ezekiel 16, chapter 16, verses 8 and 9. It says, I'm just going to read part of it. I swear unto thee, the Lord says, and entered into a covenant with thee, and thou becamest mine. This is key. Then I washed thee with water. Isn't that incredible?
Uh-huh.
So the washing, the immersion is very important. When we get water baptized, we're placed and introduced into that realm with the Lord to understand the deep things of God. So they had to take a mikvah. All of you that's listening to the radio, if you're born again, I hope you've had a mikvah. I hope you had water baptism in your life, okay? Now, number 8 on this list is, it's the bridegroom departs for his father's house. After all this is done before this. At this point, the bridegroom leaves his father's house to prepare the bridal chamber for his bride. We just read that in John 14, didn't we? And it's leading up to the eventual wedding. Before he leaves, though, he will make a statement to the bride. I go to prepare a place for you.
Isn't that what Jesus said?
Yeah. If I go, I will return again unto you. This is the same statement we read in John 14, 1-3.
That's right.
Now, the ninth thing on these 12 steps for the Jewish wedding is the bride is set apart for a time. So she goes away. We don't know how long. You know, the Lord, you know, we came to Jesus, and a lot of people all down through history from the time that Jesus died came to the Lord, and they're still waiting. They don't know when
she
he's going to come.
She stays pure. She doesn't look at other
That's right.
guys.
Nope.
No, she doesn't have any other boyfriends.
That's
she
right.
She doesn't look at any other men.
That's
she
right.
knows that she is betrothed to one man.
That's right. In Mark 13, it tells you about him coming.
So she can't get
Roving eyes.
Roving eyes.
That's right. So, you know, in Mark 13, it talks about when is he going to come? Could it be in the middle of the night or midnight? When is it going to be? Early in the morning? But he's going to come. So while the bride is waiting for the groom, the bridegroom to come, she has to say this, is he really coming back for me?
Yeah. She needs to keep oiling her lamp.
Is he really going to keep his word?
Trimmed.
That's right.
What's that mean to trim your lamp? What does that mean, really, to trim your lamp?
Well, if you don't trim it, the wicks will burn out and it won't be no light.
Right, and it can get, if you don't trim that wick, you don't have a clean flame either.
That's right.
It can get smelly. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the ointment, or it's like the perfume. It can get rancid.
That's right.
And you can get stale. Mm-hmm. If you don't stay on fire for the Lord, if we don't trim our wick, we can get stale.
We
can get stinky. And so when that happens, then you know what? We're not
in
the living water anymore. We're in
trouble.
We're in deep mm-hmm. trouble. That's mm-hmm. right. We are in trouble. See, Rebecca is a perfect example, Pastor Gene, of this wedding.
Absolutely.
I was thinking about, because, you know, she was a virgin. It says she was a virgin. She was chaste.
Sure was.
It says that over here in Genesis, that she was mm-hmm. chaste. And that she was fair to look upon, and she was a virgin.
Sure.
So she was pure. And, you know, it also says here, it talks about, Abraham sent his servant, and his servant obeyed, and when he saw, he went out, well, I'm not going to read the whole story, but when he went out there, you know, she fed his camels, gave him water, and gave all the camels mm-hmm. water. It took a lot of time. And it says over here, it says, behold, Rebekah is before thee, take her.
That's right.
That sounds like a snatching away.
That's right.
Take her now. Yeah. Take her. And go, and let her be thy master's son's wife. This is what the Lord said to him. The Lord said, and the Lord has spoken. It's when the Lord speaks, boy. So, you know, he didn't say anything. Just take her. That's what it says. Take her and go. And it says, and it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard these words, that he worshipped the Lord, and he bowed himself to the earth.
Right.
So then he goes and he talks to the, you know, the parents, and he gives them jewelry and silver and jewelry and gold.
That's right.
You know, and what the family wanted to keep her 10 more days.
That's
what
right.
does that remind you of, Pastor Gene? Tishri 1 to Tishri 10.
That's right.
10 more days. Let her stay with us 10 more days.
Yeah.
But he said no, you know. So let the damsel.
Yeah.
So they let the woman make her decision. And
that's
what
right.
did she say? I'll go. And what did she do? They got right then and there. They got up on that next day. They got up on that those camels, and she went
and she
with
him.
No hesitant, no thinking,
no thought.
10 days,
right.
no 10 days staying
went
with my parents. She went immediately. This is a perfect example of the catching
right.
away. Take her, and it says here, let the damsel, they said, let the damsel abide with us at least 10 days.
That's right.
No, huh? And so, and then they said, we'll call the damsel and inquire, see what at her mouth, see what she says.
Yeah.
And what? And then it says here, and Rebekah said, and they said, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. That was it. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister.
That's right.
Amen?
So she went immediately.
And they blessed Rebekah, and they right. sent her away. And she went. She didn't, no hesitant, no waiting.
She didn't hesitate at all.
She was ready.
That's right.
She went.
I'm reminded also in 2 Peter chapter 3, a verse where it says, where is the promise of his coming? You know, talking about when Jesus is going to come back someday. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Well,
mm-hmm.
she, what Don just talked about, she obeyed, didn't she? So
immediately.
We don't know for sure when he's going to come, but we're going to remain in that place. And so remember, we are betrothed to the Lord. Now, number 10 on this list is now the bridegroom returns with a shout.
Mm.
Okay. The time of the return of the bridegroom is usually at midnight. It tells you that in Matthew chapter 25. And it's also in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and all about the catching away. The marriage between the bride and the groom will take place under the kupa. It's a kupa, or it's called a wedding canopy. Since heaven is like a type of the kupa, we can see that Yeshua gives a shout for his bride, accompanied by the blowing of a shofar. We blow them shofars all the time. The marriage between Yeshua then and his bride will take place where? In heaven. The marriage ceremony will have a sacred procession. For this reason, the kupa, the kupa is so important. But for this reason, though, the bridegroom will be led to the kupa first. Who's that? The husband's going to be led there first. When the bridegroom approaches the kupa, the cantor, there's a cantor that chants, blessed is he who comes.
That's
blessed is he
singer.
Who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. And so it's incredible when we think about it. So And Jesus is going to be crowned king under a kupa. So that's number 10. The bridegroom returns with a shout in the middle of the night. Number 11. We might get this done just at the main topics. Now the bridegroom then comes for his bride, okay? The bridegroom returns with a shout, and then the bridegroom, what? Comes for his bride. Isn't that incredible? Amen? So they blow the shofars again, and we see all this in the scriptures. Maybe we can read some of this next week with you a little bit more. This is all in my book. Now let's look at number 12, the last one, because we're down to about 3 minutes. The final event is what? The marriage supper. So what happens? The bride and the bridegroom go into a kupa, and they stay there for 7 days. And they have the friends of the bridegroom are outside. There's someone assigned to the bride, and someone's assigned to the bridegroom. We can see that about John the Baptist with Yeshua. So what do we have here? They're in there for 7 days. Everything's prepared. They don't come out. And they consummate the marriage. And then when they come out after the 7 days, it's a picture of us being in heaven. We come back at the end, and what happens? Then the big celebration comes. The marriage supper comes.
So this is going to be a private thing, this catching away. It's a secret.
That's right. Those that know the Lord.
It's a mystery.
That's right.
It's a mystery. Mm-hmm. This catching away. That's what the Bible says. And the Bible doesn't call it a rapture. It's a catching away. He's going to catch us away in the sky. We're going to zip up to him. We'll have our
wedding kupa.
That's right. And so he's going to take us to heaven. And so that, you know, that's going to be those 7 years that we will be with the Lord. And who knows what we'll get to do, what we'll see in heaven, what we'll be able to do, you know, in heaven. But, you know, during that time, there's going to be really hell on this earth.
Sure will be.
And, well, we're running out of time, Pastor
sure
Gene.
Are.
We'll talk about this some more next week.
There's so much in it.
Awesome.
Not challenge you, but I would just ask you to ask the Lord.
Ask the Lord.
Purchase
just
the book.
Just give us a call. If you want to talk to Pastor Gene about this book more, he'd be glad to talk with you about it more. But this is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton. We're blessed to be on this radio broadcast every Saturday, Lord willing, at 12 o'clock noon. We're also on the internet, WCNO.com. And if you want to listen to this again, you can go there, or you can get on your phone. You can go there and you can download the app, and you can listen to WCNO. They have wonderful radio all day, 24/7. And so, you know, that's a blessing. We also have services here in Stuart, Florida. So tomorrow, we have nothing today.
Yeah.
So please don't show up this afternoon.
No class.
Tomorrow at 10 a.m., we have service tomorrow at 10 a.m. and next Friday at 7 p.m.
That's right.
And the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat it. Area code 772-285-7007. That's Spirit of Prophecy Ministries with Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton.
So if you know the Lord, continue to walk with him. We don't know what day could it be this year. We don't know for sure. But he's coming back he's coming back for who? A bride.
A bride.
And we're betrothed to him right now if you're in the Lord. So as we close the program, we tell you to look up, because your redemption draweth nigh every day. What do we say, Pastor Donna?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of Prophecy.